tensions rise between House lawmakers and the Trump administration.
Today, House Democrats greatly upped the pressure on the White House, threatening to issue a subpoena by October 4th for documents related to April 21st and July 25th phone calls with the Ukrainian president. And Trump folks fought back hard, accusing House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff of engaging in a form of collusion with the whistleblower that makes all of this a political scam.
We'll have the latest on the House impeachment inquiry into President Trump. Plus, the U.S. prepares to impose tariffs on $7.5 billion of European Union imports. It's Wednesday, October 2nd. This is the PM edition of What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. U.S. stocks fell sharply on Wednesday on fears of slowing global growth. The Dow had fallen nearly 600 points in earlier trading before paring down some of those losses. The index ultimately closed down 494 points on Wednesday, a loss of 1.9%. The S&P 500 fell 1.8%. It's the first time this year that the S&P has fallen more than 1% in consecutive sessions. The Nasdaq fell 1.6%. Our markets reporter Akani Otani has more on what drove investors' fears.
We saw a little bit of a hangover from Tuesday, where we got a report showing a measure of manufacturing activity actually fell to the lowest level since June 2009. So that was pretty much on investors' minds. And then we got hit by another set of data that was a little bit disappointing on private payrolls. And it showed that hiring is not dropping off sharply, but it is slowing. And that's concerning to people who've been sort of leaning on the labor market to be a source of strength in the economy.
The private sector added 135,000 jobs in September. That was better than economists surveyed by the Journal had expected. But according to the ADP National Employment Report, average per month job creation over the past 3 months has been about 145,000 jobs per month. That's down from an average of 214,000 during the same period last year. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo confirmed on Wednesday that he listened in to a July call between President Trump and Ukraine's president, as we reported on Monday.
As for was I on the phone call, I was on the phone call. The phone call was in the context of now, I guess I've been the Secretary of State for coming on a year and a half. I know precisely what the American policy is with respect to Ukraine. It's been remarkably consistent, and we will continue to try to drive those set of outcomes.
Pompeo was speaking in Rome. The call in question is at the center of the House's inquiry into whether President Trump inappropriately used his office to pressure Ukraine's president into investigating former Vice President Joe Biden, his political rival. We'll have the latest on that coming up. Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders is canceling his events and campaign appearances until further notice. Sanders had a medical procedure to insert stents to open artery blockage after experiencing chest pain during an event on Tuesday night. Sanders' campaign says he's conversing and in good spirits. Sanders has been polling in the top tier among the Democratic candidates, but has struggled recently to gain momentum against Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, a fellow progressive candidate in a crowded Democratic field. The U.S. said it will move swiftly to impose tariffs of $7.5 billion on European Union imports later this month after the World Trade Organization ruled that Airbus received illegal subsidies from the bloc. The WTO decision comes after a 15-year battle and is the biggest arbitration award ever by the trade regulator. The WTO is expected to rule on a separate but related EU case against U.S. subsidies to Boeing, pitting the world's two biggest plane manufacturers against each other. Joining me now via Skype from Brussels is Wall Street Journal reporter Emre Paykar. Emre, give us the background of this case. Typically, the United States and the EU, as allies, would resolve something like this without going to the WTO. So what happened here?
Well, first of all, they go to the WTO to sort of try and settle these cases through negotiations. And both the US and the EU have litigated against Airbus and Boeing, respectively, saying that each side provided illegal subsidies to their plane makers to give them a leg up as they competed for orders on the global arena. And as a result, the WTO said, yep, the US did wrong, and yep, the EU did wrong too. You're both guilty, and you guys should really sit down and settle this. But instead, the two sides refused to sort of come to an agreement over what sort of steps they would have to take in order to make the problem go away, which brings us to today, whereby we have this new WTO award that entitles the U.S. to slap the EU with tariffs on goods worth $7.5 billion annually.
And also pending in a separate but related case is the case that the EU has filed against the United States subsidies to Boeing. How is that case expected to go considering today's ruling?
Yes, so today's ruling in the U.S. case against Airbus was the final step of the 15-year-old process, as you described. And the EU, in its own case against Boeing, has already won in the sense that it has rulings saying certain practices, tax breaks, incentives that the U.S. on a state or federal level provided for Boeing were illegal. Now the question is, how much in dollar amounts does the EU get to hit the U.S. with tariffs if it doesn't fix those problems? So it's not a question of will the EU win. The EU has already won. It's by how much the EU will win. And the general consensus is that the EU has put in a claim for about $11-12 billion worth of damages. But the general consensus is that it'll come lower and at a level comparative to the award that the U.S. got today.
But at the same time, this also threatens to escalate the trade fight between the U.S. and the European Union, doesn't it? And then what about Airbus versus Boeing?
Absolutely. The trade situation between the EU and the U.S. is far from great. For a year and a half almost, there's been a shaky truce that was struck at the White House agreement with President Trump. But the two sides have not been able to live up to the promises of that agreement to strike a limited trade agreement and also eliminate bureaucratic hurdles and red tape across the Atlantic to facilitate more trade. And they've been trading barbs saying, you know, we can't move forward because the Europeans won't budge on our agriculture. And the Europeans are saying, oh, we can't move forward because the Americans are straying from the spirit of the agreement at the White House. So at a point where the two sides had just enjoyed about just over a year of a break from tit for tat tariff war that started when President Trump imposed tariffs on steel and aluminum exports from the EU, this threatens to rekindle tit-for-tariffs across the Atlantic. And for Airbus and Boeing, it's really lose-lose because it'll give both plane makers in their home markets a leg up over their rival, but it'll hit global supply chains, it'll make planes more expensive, it'll make sales harder, and it'll make them, you know, fight each other at a time when, as the two biggest plane makers in the world, they should be really watching their back and try and protect their market share given the competition that's slowly coming up from China and Russia.
Wall Street Journal reporter Emre Paykar, thanks so much.
Pleasure.
House lawmakers offered an update on their impeachment inquiry on Wednesday.
We are proceeding deliberately, but at the same time, we feel a real sense of urgency here that this work needs to get done, and it needs to get done in a responsible period of time.
That's House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff speaking earlier today. House committees are also planning to subpoena the White House if officials don't comply with a request for records relating to phone calls between President Trump and Ukraine's president that are at the center of the inquiry. Joining me now from Washington with the latest is Wall Street Journal reporter Siobhan Hughes. Siobhan, House lawmakers held a news conference this afternoon where they outlined their next steps in the impeachment inquiry into President Trump, including testimony scheduled from administration officials this week. What can you tell us about who is testifying, and are all these meetings behind closed doors?
So there are two State Department officials who are supposed to be interviewed. And yes, this is behind closed doors. The first of these is Kurt Volker, who was a special envoy to Ukraine. That is a part-time, unpaid position before he resigned last week. The other person who's speaking is the former ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, who was no longer ambassador earlier this year when she was recalled from the Ukraine back to Washington.
We also heard from Secretary of State Mike Pompeo earlier today. He confirmed our reporting that he was on the call in question. He also said House lawmakers are bullying officials from his department into testifying. How are we likely to see this playing out as House lawmakers are seeking additional information?
This is a major battle, and what we have seen right now is the House Democrats prevailing in at least two instances because the former State Department Special Envoy Kurt Volker is in fact testifying, and you're also seeing the former ambassador agreeing to come in. That does, however, leave the fate of three current State Department officials, at least one of whom is very, very close to Mike Pompeo, up in the air. Adam Schiff said that his committee is still negotiating with lawyers for those three about bringing them in, but this is a real battle.
The House is also threatening additional subpoenas. What can you tell us about the information they are seeking?
So the subpoena we learned about today is directed at the White House, specifically going to Mick Mulvaney, and it aims primarily to get information surrounding a pair of phone calls that President Trump had with Ukraine's President, Mr. Zelensky. One involves an April 21st phone call that was largely congratulatory in nature, as far as we know, and the other involves more details surrounding that July 25th phone call. Now, a version of a transcript of the July 25th phone call has already been released, but what the Democrats want is a more complete record. And interestingly, what they also want are all communications between members of the Trump administration surrounding that phone call. So this would be things like people from the National Security Council. What were they saying? They're also interested in any communications between people like Attorney General Bill Barr. In fact, even Vice President Mike Pence. This does go up to the highest levels.
Siobhan, we also heard from President Trump today during an appearance at the White House with Finland's president, where Trump accused Representative Adam Schiff of helping to write the whistleblower complaint that's at the heart of this inquiry. Can you explain that moment?
Sure. So what we learned today is that the whistleblower had contacted the Intelligence Committee for guidance on how to report possible wrongdoing within the jurisdiction of the intelligence community. The committee says that that always happens. It's not uncommon, and that staff said you need to contact an inspector general and seek legal counsel. But Republicans have seized on this as evidence that the whole thing has been cooked up, as a Trump's War Room said in a tweet, collusion, this is all orchestrated, it's a political scam. And President Trump repeatedly called this a scam at a press conference today.
Wall Street Journal reporter Siobhan Hughes joining us from Washington. Thank you so much, Siobhan.
Thank you.
And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.